Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Joshua, and this is chapter 16. And there are only 10 verses in this chapter, and the reason that we're reading from this chapter, even though it may seem boring and mundane to a lot of people, the Bible says that we're saved by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God, and that includes chapter 16. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if every word, so... And a lot of, you know, this has to do with doling out the territory, I think it is, to Ephraim and Manasseh. And a lot of people says, well, who cares, you know, how much property was given to Manasseh and to Ephraim? This is a long time ago. It doesn't make any difference. Well, if you were a group of people that were the chosen people of the Lord and you were traveling across the United States from the East Coast to the West Coast, and God told you that all of Los Angeles was yours and it had to be divided up into different sections for your family and then other families, so I think you'd care about which part of L.A. you got. Amen?
Amen.
Well, what do we get? Do we get Beverly Hills? Well, I want Beverly Hills. No, but it has to be done by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, what about the Valley? The San Fernando Valley, and there's certain parts of it. Well, all this would belong to your family, or would it be Hollywood, or West Hollywood, or could it be Truesdale Estates in Beverly Hills together, and maybe Holmby Hills, or maybe Pasadena and Burbank and all those areas? I mean, try to picture, you know, these people have some anxiety about this. They've been promised the promised land, and here they are there, and a lot of people, when they get something, you know, they really think, oh, this is going to be wonderful when we get it, but when they get it, then they think, well, this is important, unimportant, and so when we're reading this Bible, this is an important, very important to the people that it was happening to, amen?
Yes.
And so we have to, you know, receive it as the way that the Lord gives it, and because the Lord does have different places in the kingdom of heaven to give us as well. And so it all depends on the way that we walk, the way that we conduct ourselves in this world, as to what will be given at the end of the line. Now, these people, this was the end of the line, so to speak, on this earth for them. And it was like a precious thing because the Jews never had a country before. They're just like nomads, and here all of a sudden all the other nations of the world had countries and the land that they could call their own, but God says, no, in order for you to have this land, I want you to go in and get rid of all the sinners, these people in there that are into every kind of evil thing, sacrificing their children unto devils. And we see today that the people in the United States have sacrificed over 30 million or 300 million, I don't even remember how much it is anymore, it's just babies. They're like evil, rotten people. They are just the same way as the people in the Canaan land. And so the Lord says, go in there and get rid of all these people. And he says, well, we can't do that in these last days, but he says, I'm going to come in and destroy them all with plagues. And so we see all the different plagues listed in the 24th chapter of Matthew. In other words, find the 24th chapter of Matthew. And we see those plagues there that would be happening on the earth. God is saying that there's going to be earthquakes. And there's signboards on the coming out to Los Angeles saying, if you're planning to live in Los Angeles, better learn about earthquakes because this is the land of earthquakes. But we see earthquakes in diverse places. We see them in Japan. We see them in China. We see them in India. We see them all over the world. And those are different or diverse places. And and then we see all the different plagues. People are dying by the millions of AIDS, Ebola, and we've gone over that. And some people say, well, I mean, we don't want to hear, You don't want to hear about it until you have it yourself. That's when you want to hear about it. You want to know what there is that can be done about this. What can we do to get rid of AIDS? Well, we know, Father, you know, that we have committed fornication and lesbianism and homosexuality, but now we repent, you know, like they really do repent, until God would heal them again, and then all of a sudden they would start it all over. We had a person in our church that had got leukemia, which is a big-time killer today, and he was a window peeper. I've mentioned this before, and so we told him that's what it was causing it, and he repented, so to speak, and the Lord healed him. And then he started doing it again, and he caught it right back up again and died. Young boy, about 12, 13, 14 years old. And so you've got chapter 24 there. All right, we're looking. It says there'll be vapors and smokes laying down over the city. We see it right here in Los Angeles. Smog laying down over the cities. New York, Chicago, there's smog everywhere. Las Vegas is covered with smog. And so we're living in the last days. And we see that the time has come, you know, where people are murdering their little babies. I actually saw, and this was around 35 years ago, them starving a baby to death in UCLA Medical Center because the parent says, well, it's a mongoloid baby and we really don't want it. So we just want this baby to be on a no-feed program. Don't feed the baby. And here it showed it on the news and it was slowly dying right in front of the eyes of everybody. And no one did a thing about it. No one said, I'll adopt the baby, don't kill the baby. So it goes to show that the love of many has waxed cold in these last days. How much wickedness will God see on this earth before he actually decides to smash it? He's already made a decision to smash this world a long time ago. And especially with people that also are hearing the word of God. And there's certain chapters there, like they'll say, well, that was a real great message, but it wasn't great about everything else. All the other messages that have been brought, even though a lot of people say every message is a building block and so on, but some people just pick and choose messages. And that shows me something else, too, that they are feeling that really we're not saved by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. And we are, all right? So I would just say, make sure that you open your ears. And Father, we ask that everyone, that you open up their spiritual ears. He that hath an ear, saith the Spirit, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life. The words in the Bible are God's spirit, and they are his life. If you receive them, not just to learn of the scriptures as the Pharisees did, but if you are learning them, to live the gospel, to not be looking at the world as something to have or to influence you. The Bible tells us that we must totally forsake, shun, abandon the world. And of course you say, well, man, we only live once. But Father, teach them in these scriptures that we know we do live twice. We live in this world, and then our spirit lives on somewhere else. And it depends on how we conduct ourselves in this world as to how and where our spirit is going to spend eternity. As for me, I want to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven, and for it seems like the majority of the earth that have been deceived, and they think, Father, that that's going to be a cop-out. Well, Father, we were deceived. Don't send us to hell. But it is that they are closing their ears to the gospel, and that's why they're deceived. They deliberately, it's their will, they deliberately have closed their ears in order to be deceived, thinking that they will be able to worm their way out of hell and the lake of fire by saying, we didn't know. Father, open every ear to hear the Spirit, to hear what you say. And Lord, anoint this chapter, and anoint any comment, all commentary, Lord. Let nothing be said on this tape that has not come directly from your throne. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, chapter 16 of Joshua, verse 1.
Ephraim's inheritance and the inheritance of West Manasseh. King James Version, verse 1. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east.
Okay, now we know that the water of Jericho, I was there and it was like a desolate place. The only water that I saw was the Salt Sea, which is down below. You can actually see it when you're standing on Jericho. It's just a gradual sloping hill. Joshua sitting sort of on top of the hill, and behind you, the city is a big mountain there, and then down below is the Salt Sea, or the Dead Sea, over at Jericho. All right? Jericho. All right, then what else?
And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel.
See, the wilderness, that's it is. It's like forsaken. It's like a wilderness out there. Nobody would, in their right mind, would want to live at Jericho. It's like bleak. There's just a handful of Arabs there. And the only thing I really saw was the date palms, a few of them, very few. And I saw some nets around them to prevent the flies or the bugs or birds from eating the dates. And that's probably eke out a very meager living by selling those dates. That looks like they're like a long keg of dates all growing in clumps, great big clumps, hanging from these date palms. You can see them also at the Coachella Valley out near Palm Springs. You see them around there, and you see them in several other places in the world. Right here in California. Okay, then what else?
Verse 2. And goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along unto the borders of Arkai to Adaroth. Verse 3. And goeth down westward to the coast of Jephthlittai, unto the coast of Beth-horon, the nether, and to Gezer, and the goings out thereof are at the sea. Verse 4. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim took their inheritance. Verse 5. And the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. Even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Adaroth Adar unto Beth-horon the upper.
Right. Now, I'd say the Lord wants everybody to be very careful with their properties, and He wants you to value your properties. If God has blessed you to where you have a piece of property, you need to know where the borders are. You need to have them surveyed, and because it's all down in the book. Amen?
Amen.
We'll know all these things. The book of Revelation is not, the book of Acts is not the last book. The story of the Lord and the Lord's people is continuing on until the Lord comes, all right? So we have to be careful with everything we do, because it's all being recorded. Okay, then what?
Verse 6. And the border went out toward the sea to Michmethah on the north side, and the border went about eastward unto Taanath Shiloh, and passed by it on the east to Janoah. Verse 7. And it went down from Janoah to Adaroth and to Naarath, and came to Jericho, and went out at Jordan. Verse 8. The border went out from Tapua westward unto the river Cana, and the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Ephraim by their families. Verse 9. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. Verse 10, And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and serve under tribute.
Yeah, but they're still there with their wicked ways and everything, and it's causing them a lot of trouble. Okay.
Translation, verse 1 through 10. Ephraim's inheritance and the inheritance of West Manasseh. The allotment to the descendants of Joseph extended from the Jordan River near Jericho, east of the waters of Jericho, through the wilderness and into the hill country of Bethel. Verse 2. From Bethel, that is Luz, it ran over to Ataroth, in the territory of the Archites. Verse 3. Then it descended westward to the territory of the Jephthites, as far as lower Beth Horon, then to User, and on over to the Mediterranean Sea. The land given to Ephraim. Verse 4. The families of Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, received their inheritance. Verse 5. The following territory was given to the families of the tribe of Ephraim as their inheritance. The eastern boundary of their inheritance began at Ataroth, at Ataroth Ada. From there it ran to upper Beth Horon. Verse 6, then on to the Mediterranean Sea. The northern boundary...
You know, that's a lot. The Mediterranean Sea is a lot different than the Dead Sea. Mediterranean Sea is very beautiful, and you need to sail on the Mediterranean Sea if you're on a boat to get into Israel, because the Mediterranean Sea is right there at the port at Haifa. So that could very well be Haifa. Amen?
Amen.
So that's not at the bleak area. Haifa is one of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen in my life. It's really warm and wonderful in place. Okay, then what?
The northern boundary began at the Mediterranean, ran east past Michmathath, then curved eastward past Taanath Shiloh to the east of Jamoth. Verse 7. From Genoa it turned southward to Ataroth and Mara, touched Jericho, and ended at the Jordan River. Verse 8. From Tapua the border extended westward, following the Cana Ravine to the Mediterranean Sea. This is the inheritance given to the families of the tribe of Ephraim. Verse 9. Ephraim was also given some towns with surrounding villages in the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh. Verse 10. They did not drive the Canaanites out of Gezer, however, so the people of Gezer live as slaves among the people of Ephraim to this day.
And, I mean, everybody that reads the Bible knows that they were supposed to, and they disobeyed God. They didn't drive them out. And so they are for sure going to be cursed and persecuted and troubled with these people all the days of their life. Then what?
Commentary.
Right, now we have commentary.
Chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. Chapters 16 and 17 describe the land given to the descendants of Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. See chapter 13 through chapter 14, verse 1 through 5. They drew one lot, but the land was divided between the two tribes. These introductory verses describe the southern boundary of Ephraim roughly from the Jordan River east of Jericho, then westward to the Mediterranean Sea. 16 verse 4. Even though Manasseh was Joseph's firstborn, Jacob had blessed Ephraim as his favorite, or as the one that is blessed by the Lord the most. Genesis chapter 48 verse 19. Thus Ephraim received his birthright first. Okay. 16 verse 5 through 8. Ephraim settled between Benjamin and Dan on the south and west, Manasseh on the north. 16 verse 9. Separate cities. They were also given cities within Manasseh's borders, possibly because Ephraim's area was proportionately too small for its population. 16 verse 10. Did not drive out. Although reduced to slave labor, these Canaanites would remain in Gezer nearly 40 years until subdued by Solomon. This mention is intended to show Ephraim's failure even as Judah had failed to drive out the Jebusites in chapter 15, verse 63.
Right, Jebusites were there in Jerusalem, and David took care of them. Okay, then what else?
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, had warned that such failure would eventually turn the Israelites from following God.
Right, because they're evil, they're wicked. It's just like you watch television today. And these evil Gentiles, their wicked ways, they don't know they're sinning because they're so blind. And all the different things that you see on television are getting people to follow after them. They're all into entertainment, sports, violence, promiscuity, perversion. All these different things is what the same thing that all the Gentiles are into, all of them. And so let's go. And then people wonder why there's so much cursings on so many diseases and so many earthquakes and so many hurricanes and twisters and typhoons and all sorts of deaths like that. Well, God said that it would be like this in the last days, and that he was going to really curse the earth. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay, then what else? I mean, there's going to be a meteorite that's going to come down and smash so hard. It's going to be so big, and it's going to smash into the sea, and it's going to cover over one half of the United States. The actual water is going to drown people. Now, he's not drowning the whole world. He promised to never do away with the world again by drowning, but he will. He's drowning lots of people. There's floods and everything here and there. And the people just keep saying it's Mother Nature. No, read the Bible. God says it's him, okay? He doesn't want you to call him Mother Nature, all right? Unless you want him to call you Mother. Okay, then what else?
16, verse 1 through 10. A godly person's descendants often reap numerous benefits from that person's life. Because God had used Joseph to deliver his father Jacob and his family from a famine that almost certainly would have destroyed them, Jacob honored Joseph by, quote, adopting, unquote, Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and making them equal in status to Jacob's own son. Genesis chapter 48, verse 1 through 5. Thus, of the 12 sons of Jacob, Joseph's lineage was granted the privilege of being considered two tribes for the purpose of receiving an inheritance. Our faith and the life we develop around our faith will have ramifications for our family in generations to come. There is no greater inheritance to pass on than to have lived a life of faith in prayerful submission to God.
So this is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and do everything he says. Amen?
Amen.
What does it mean, keep his commandments? That means do everything he says and do it quickly. All right, well, this is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 16 of the book of Joshua. 10 verses. And we'll be doing chapter 17 right quick. Praise the Lord.